Robotics for organizing and the invitation to speak. Hello, my name is Brian Shin, and I'm a product manager at LG Electronics America R&D Center in Santa Clara, California. Today, we'll be presenting on Ross on Open Embedded, how to make productized robot development simpler. Just to give an overview of what we'll discuss today, we'll go through an introduction and motivation around deploying and scaling to mass market, high volume robots with embedded Linux. Then we'll discuss what development with ROS and Open Embedded, a flavor of embedded Linux, looks like, and some of the work that we've done to enable this. How LG's open source operating system, WebOS, can enhance robotics product development even more. And then we'll finish with a demo video showing a prototype of our work. Okay, so this is really about scaling robot production and deployment for mass market. For some commercialized products, the idea is that you need to mass produce, deploy, and essentially lower your costs. From a product point of view, though, there's still a lot of expectations that need to be met. You still need a full experience on potentially small form factor, hardware-wise. You might need slightly different variants that your company sells while still maintaining the reproducibility for all of those. Your systems need to be optimized for low cost. And at the same time, you still need advanced user experiences, potentially, and stay up to date throughout the product's lifecycle with software and security. So how can you create and scale these products while keeping your product and development costs low? We believe one possible path or solution is to meeting some of these expectations is reduce hardware costs, including the chipset, and simplify software development. This is where embedded Linux development comes in. So let's first look at some of the characteristics of embedded products that are already deployed and scaled globally. These include things like smartwatches, smart TVs, smartphones, routers, etc. So these products have embedded hardware, generally, you know, are single board computers. They're usually, you know, customized for a pretty dedicated function, like the first smartphones also. They have, you know, low memory footprint, low power consumption, but still, you know, real-time performance. Basically, every user or use case still needs things to be as fast as possible or have as nice of a user experience as possible. And embedded Linux kind of enables many of these mass market devices that are already out there in the world. So the advantage of embedded Linux is cost savings with the ability to meet high product expectations while keeping your hardware and production costs low. One challenge, though, at least with traditional embedded Linux development, is high development costs. So with traditional embedded development, there can still be many challenges in the development process itself. Some of these are similar to the expectations for mass market robots, as I just mentioned. You need to support multiple hardware variants. You know, there's cross development and support of different architectures that you have to do. Significant customizations might need to be done for every product line or variant. And of course, there's a lot of optimizations that you have to do in order to fit it onto the form factor that you need. So as you can see, there are a lot of challenges associated with scaling robots that are actually maybe common or, you know, in similar to commercialized embedded devices out there. Our solution for commercialized robot products deployed at scale is use embedded hardware to keep product costs low with Open Embedded, a base embedded Linux flavor that simplifies sort of some of the challenges I just mentioned with traditional embedded Linux embedded software development. Add ROS to this to bring in robotics capabilities, and then add WebOS, which is LG's open source embedded Linux that's deployed on millions of devices, which kind of may help you bridge some of the gaps to finishing the actual product. So let's see some of the parts of this solution in a little bit more detail. My colleague Herb Kuda will start with Open Embedded and discuss some of the work that we've done to enable robotics development on Open Embedded.
Hi, I'm Herb Kuda. I'm a senior software engineer at LG, and I'd like to talk about give you an explanation or introduction to Open Embedded and why LG has chosen it to develop its embedded products. Open Embedded is the build system for the Linux Foundation's Yocto project. it gives you the ability to cross-compile on a quite powerful PC host for the binaries for many different CPU architectures, including those, the up-and-coming RISC-V. That would help. It supports a wide variety of chipsets and boards, and it provides a customizable open embedded Linux. Now, by customizable, I mean you can select exactly what packages are included in an image. You can configure them to only include the functionality that's used. And you can compile them exactly for the CPU architecture that's used by your board. The input to Open Embedded are recipes for each component and configurations for them. An example recipe or a schematic of a recipe is shown on the right there. And what it does is it specifies from where you get the source for the component, how to build it, and how to package it. And this is sort of the same thing that's in a ROS components package.xml. And the output from Open Embedded is you get a package archive like you would from a Debian build, but you also get a bootable image that you can just flash on an SD card and boot your device from it. A particular advantage of Open Embedded is that all the builds are completely reproducible. And that's because all the versions of each component are specified in the recipe. But the most interesting and important feature of Open Embedded is that it's organized into independent layers. So they can be developed by different groups. It makes functionality modular. And they are typically given an embedded prefix. So there's meta layers for boards, for example, meta Raspberry Pi. There's ones for functionality, such as meta networking. And so why not a meta ROS? Well, actually, there was a meta ROS. It was originally maintained by Lucas Bullwall of BMW Car IT. But it had lain fallow, and it hadn't been updated since ROS 1 Indigo and didn't support ROS 2 at all. And why might this have happened? Well, ROS contains thousands of components, and dozens change every couple of weeks, it seems. So, as I mentioned, you have to specify the version of every component in its recipe, and updating those versions would be too daunting of a task. So our solution was to take an existing tool developed by the ROS community called Superflor, and it was used to generate builds for other operating systems, in particular Gen 2, and we enhanced it to generate recipes for Open Embedded. So Superflor takes the ROS distribution cache and some files that map the dependencies on platform packages into the actual package names on the particular operating system, and it generates recipes. But in order to generate recipes for the exact versions of packages that appear in the ROS distro announcements, we generate our own distribution cache from the ROS index distribution.yaml at the commit where the ROS release was built. And we use the ROS distro build cache tool for this. Now, let me just explain how simple it is to build a ROS image using Open Embedded. So first you clone Meta ROS. We've provided a utility script with it to allow you to configure the Open Embedded layers. So in this example, I'm showing configuring it for ROS2 dashing. You then source some environment variables. There's a configuration file to specify the exact configuration of the things which you edit. And then you build using the BigBait utility. It's also very simple to say add or modify a ROS package. You simply clone it. You run a utility script we provided to generate a recipe that, without having to go through the adding it to the ROS distribution file and then distribution cache, and then you configure it by adding it to the image using in the config.local, and then you build it. So not only has, I've shown how, I hope, how it always simplifies building an image for an embedded device, but it also simplifies the deployment. So the current scheme for, say, the Turtobot 3 Waffle Pi requires you to set up portions of ROS on a remote PC. Then it also requires that you install Ubuntu and ROS on the actual Raspberry Pi. Plus, you have to download and compile some of the ROS 3 packages. What Open Embedded gives you the option to do is to build an image with everything on it. So if you so desire, you can place all of the Turtobot 3 packages into the image. You can also configure it with the host name and SSID, say, of the Wi-Fi network you want to connect to on a USB flash drive. Flash the image on an SD card, plug the USB flash drive in, boot your Raspberry Pi, and the Turtobot 3 is operational. So I hope I've given you an idea that how simple it is to develop using Open Embedded, but it only gives you a base level Linux. So my colleague Lokesh here will describe how adding one more layer, WebOS, gives you the ability to create a full function product that will meet consumer expectations.
My name is Lokesh Kumar Goel. I'm Director of Platform Engineering at LG. So far my colleagues have talked about reducing the software cost. So they introduced you to Open Embedded that gives you the base Linux platform to basically start your development. Adds MetaROS, brings robotics on top of it. But still, what this gives you is not a complete solution for a product. For a product, you need many more things. You need a lot of rich features in order to give that expectation the customers have. So WebOS, so let's see what WebOS is first. So WebOS is LG's smart OS, which is actually shipping on millions of LG devices. Most of these are embedded devices. Different variants, different hardwares, shipping in different markets, different use cases of different customers. WebOS is built on top of Open Embedded. So it is basically a layer that goes on top of Open Embedded. It is optimized for embedded devices. So we have worked a lot to get CPU memory and GPU usage to the lowest possible. It has a lot of services and application frameworks basically that give you feature-rich capabilities to create your end products. And it is a proven technology. It's already shipping on millions of devices, quality proven, so it's very easy to take that and move forward. So what are the advantages of combining these three layers? You're getting an optimized embedded solution. You're getting capabilities to create those advanced user experiences. You're also getting an ability to do rapid development because WebOS first class citizen is actually web apps. So your development is in HTML, JavaScript, cost effective. And it also gives you many other services, but one of the services to highlight here in ROS context is software updates. One of the expectations of the product that keep the product up to date. And good thing is it's open source, it's white label OS, so you can easily redistribute it and rebrand it as you like. So I want to introduce the concept of a common base platform because when you work in a company like LG, you're not just asked to do one variant of one product, you're asked to do multiple variants of one product plus other products for different countries, for different people. So you need to reuse your source code. So that means you need platforms. So now this combination of these three blocks, the Open Embedded that gives you the base Linux, the MetaROS that brings in the ROS packages you want, the WebOS which brings the rich features that help you to complete the gap, that gives you this common base platform. And you can maintain this common base platform for different robo units or robo business units that you have in your company. And they can create some special customizations on top of it for different variants of robots that they're creating and then create those robots. And since Open Embedded is layer-based, it's very easy to remove things, add things as they like, and create something. So here is an example of something that we are trying to create called WebOS Robotics Platform. So here you can see things are layered. There is a common layer of WebOS. There's a common layer of ROS that gives some common capabilities. Then there is some specific customizations for different variants. For example, for a vacuum robot, you don't have a display. So you can throw away the graphics layer, but you still want a connectivity through a mobile phone so that the UI can be on the mobile, some control UI that you can use. So you can create a mobile application. Then the other variant could be a child robot, a companion robot for interaction. You want displays there, maybe more than one display. You want to have some applications for interaction, some content applications, some game applications, some applications that tie up with some ROS logic, maybe a camera node that basically gives emotions. So you can create any of these. So we are going to we actually are showing one variant of this, the child robot, in our booth. You can come and check that out. The current reference hardware we're using for that is Robotis Turtlebot 3. And we plan to add more reference hardwares for this platform going in future. So the conclusion overall here is that we strongly believe that this combo that we are seeing here, the open embedded with MetaROS, plus WebOS or some other smart OS, could solve that software development problem for scaled robots. Combine this with some of the other cloud services and the backend technologies for your robotics, and voila, you actually have solved the scaling problem for robots. It's not that simple, but I guess it's a starting point. So from there, we can basically work together. So let me not waste too much time and actually get to the demo, the fun part. Sorry. So come play with it. It's in our booth. And really, yes, all was just running on Raspberry Pi 4, no remote PC. So thank you.
Great, thank you. Got time for one or two questions? I've got one, which is, you mentioned ROS a lot. How much of this can run on ROS 2?
So the WafflePi TurtleBot 3 that when we started building, ROS 1 was working more reliably than ROS 2. But the same thing can easily work with ROS 2. We have tried bits of it. So navigation works, but the other things had a problem with the dashing branch of TurtleBot 3. But it's very easy for us to just generate recipes for the dash 2 branch and just put it on the robot. If it's all stable from robotics, it will work.
Great. Prophet?
Are there any current challenges that new users would face if they were just getting started with the ROS 2 and WebOS?
Can I get the question again? Development challenges with WebOS and?
Were there any challenges that folks new to WebOS and ROS 2 would bump into when getting started? Or just any heads up?
Oh, yeah, there are definitely challenges every time. There are challenges at every layer that we started working. First thing was even better ROS. Like, even my friend from Wind River was mentioning that dependencies is a hell in better ROS. And packages.xml are not truly, really giving you all the dependencies. So sometimes you create a recipe, but that recipe is still missing dependency. So finding dependencies was a pain in better ROS layer. Then adding WebOS to this, because we are all based on open embedded, was easy. But then getting the ROS nodes working alongside WebOS on that Raspberry Pi, to some extent, it was all okay. But when we started doing an emotion engine with neurals, like the OpenVINO stuff, we saw a lot of CPU hogging, blah, blah, blah. So then we had to figure out some optimizations with level 2, like CPU utilization, and add them. So there are a few things that we have done, but there's still a lot of work that we can do more. This was just Raspberry Pi 4. Our target is actually to even go lower. So I'm pretty sure there are a lot of good work that we can go further on this. Did I answer your question?
Great. Well, thank you, Lokesh, Herb, and Brian.